So 2 weeks ago, I began a study of the kingdom of God, and Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of God than any other subject in our Gospels. Over 100 times, we have specific teachings about the kingdom of God from our Lord Jesus Christ. He called it the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he said that this gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached to all the nations of the earth. And that is the gospel that we are trying to recover. I've suggested that the gospel that is popular today is a reduced gospel. A gospel where Jesus is Savior, but He's not sovereign. We have to return to the good news that Jesus is offering us, this life in this kingdom. I heard a story of a woman, an attractive Christian woman, that had to travel a lot in her job, and she had to be in restaurants, she had to be in hotels by herself as a result of her job. And someone asked her once if she often got uninvited male attention. She said, yeah, it's pretty common. And they asked her, how do you deal with that? She said, well, I've got 5 little words that make the guys leave me alone. When they start in, I just simply ask them, have you been born again? And that works every time. And they leave me alone. Evidently, she is seeking a man who is seeking the kingdom of God. The Bible says you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. So what's the first thing that you look for in a person? What do you look for first when you measure a man? Evidently, what Jesus looks for first is to see what man looks for first. Let me say that again. The first thing Jesus looks for is to see what a man looks for first. Jesus knows that we are by nature seekers. He talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Man seeks clothes. Man seeks money. Man seeks security. Jesus doesn't condemn men for being seekers. That's our nature. What he condemns is what we seek first. So he says, as Heather read at the beginning of our service, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be given to you as well. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? We want to explore that today, and if you're going to seek first the kingdom, you have to understand the very first rule about living in the kingdom of God. And the first rule is to seek God's rule first. That's what Jesus said. We talked last week about how Jesus has brought the offer of God's gracious rule into this present evil age. He came preaching, repent. I bring you good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. But this is an evil age. And the thing is, a lot of other kingdoms are at hand as well. So the kingdom of God comes to men demanding one fundamental thing, a decision. Make up your mind. Are you going to seek God's rule or not? The kingdom of God is not like other kingdoms. It cannot be your third choice. It can't be fifth on your list of priorities. You do not possess it at all if you do not seek it first. Do not profess allegiance to the kingdom of God if you are going to spend your highest energy attempting to possess other kingdoms. This is what Jesus meant when he said those words, repent. Repent means a lot more than just try not to cuss as much. Don't look at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Repent means to give up your allegiance to all those other empires where the first rule is my will be done. Look at how the New Living Translation renders Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The Good News Translation renders it this way. Instead, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. The New Century Version says, the thing you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all these other things you need will be given to you. The Living Bible says, he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. Now remember, Jesus says this is good news. It really is. It is good news to live with God in charge of your life instead of yourself. You see, we tend to think of repentance as something that we have to do. Repentance is something that we get to do. This is good news, Jesus says. You don't have to repent. You get to repent. You give up all those other kingdoms and you choose the rule of God over your life. That's what you should do more than anything else. This is the first rule. But how do we do it? Well, I'm going to give you three suggestions, and I want you to know right up front that they are hard, but they work. And here's the first. You must tender your resignation as master of your life. That means you must get off the throne. You ain't supposed to be king. In March of 1971, Muhammad Ali faced off against Joe Frazier for the title. Life magazine interviewed Ali. He spoke of himself before that big fight. He said, there seems to be some confusion. We're going to clear up this confusion. On March 8th, we're going to decide once for all who is the king. There's not a man alive that can whoop me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I am the king. I should be a postage stamp because that's the only way I could get licked. Well, you need to know that Ali lost that fight. We are very good at proclaiming we are king. We are not very good at being one. But we all think we should be, because we have all inherited from Adam this rebellious nature that instinctively resists any threats to our own personal autonomy. There is no place where this is worse than in our country of America. You have to remember, our country was founded on the notion that we serve no sovereign here. We are an independent people, and we call that cherishing our independence. But what it really is championing our belief that we can operate as our own sovereign. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The first sin was essentially this. Satan whispered to Adam and Eve, you don't need God. You can do for yourself what he is doing for you. You can run your own life as well as he could run it for you. And our agenda for self-enthronement was never made more clear than when we assassinated Jesus. He came along and he said he was king. He was the one, he said, who deserved our allegiance. And we said, no, you don't. We have no sovereign here. And so we crucified him. Loved ones, there can be no desiring until there is a dethroning. You cannot seek the kingdom of God until you resign as master of your life. The early church understood that. They preached the whole gospel. They didn't just preach Jesus as Savior and he'll get you into heaven. They preached Jesus as sovereign and he will run your life. Look at what they said about the early Christians in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 7 in Thessalonica. They are defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. That's what you must do to seek the kingdom of God first. Tender your resignation. And you have to do that every day, by the way. It's what Jesus referred to as taking up your cross daily. Remember, Jesus taught us to pray these words in Matthew chapter 6, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And do you know what you do when you are praying that? You are saying, "God, I want you to rule over me right now like you will rule over me in heaven." How is God's will done in heaven? Do you think there's any debate about God's will in heaven? In heaven, God's will is done immediately, completely, willfully, and joyfully. When you pray those words, "Your kingdom come," you are saying, "God, I want your rule in my life right now like it's going to be someday." It is choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you start to listen to the Holy Spirit, you are going to find him asking many times a day, "Is Jesus reigning over this area of your life right now? Is Jesus reigning over what you're watching right now? Is Jesus reigning over what you're thinking right now? Is Jesus reigning over your job right now?" The first rule is to make the first consideration in every choice the kingdom of God. Loved ones, we really do need to be saved from ourselves. We make lousy sovereigns. We can think that we can run our own lives, but none of us are good at it. We need to tender our resignation as master of our life. In fact, that's what we're going to do right now. So I want everybody, would you stand up right where you're at? Stand up, if you would. And I want you to hold up your right hand for me, please. Stand up, hold up your right hand, and repeat these words after me. I do hereby resign my right to the throne, a right that was never really mine in the first place. Now, before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, "I no longer think I can rule the universe." Go ahead and have a seat. You know, we laugh, but for some of us, that's really a hard thing to do. One of the best prayers I ever heard was from a former second baseman of the New York Yankees named Bobby Richardson. He was speaking to a group of Fellowship of Christian Athletes at a conference they had. And at the closing of that conference, he was asked to give the closing prayer. And this was his prayer. "God, your will. Nothing more. Nothing less. Nothing else." Do you want to seek the kingdom first? Tender your resignation. And the second thing, render constant praise and homage to God as King. Because there is a relationship between the kingdom that I serve and the worship that I give. Do you remember once that Satan said to Jesus, "I will give you kingdoms. I'll give you all the kingdoms if you will worship me." Whatever you seek most is what you really worship. And what you really worship is what you will seek the most. And so, one reason we worship is to reorient our hearts on the rule of God. At least that's what we should do. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're like the lady that came to her church many years ago in the Netherlands, and there was this modestly dressed man sitting in the pew that her family had sat in for years, and she walked up to the pew and curtly said to the man that he needed to get up and move. That was not his place, it was her family's place. So he did. And he went and he sat in a section reserved for the poor. After the service, someone came to her and said, "Do you know who that man was? He is the King of Sweden. He's here in town to visit our queen. And he chose to worship at our church." But you see, that lady wasn't expecting a king when she went to church that day. I want you to start doing that. One reason we worship is to get back into the presence of the King. That's why when you read through the Psalms, the old hymns of Israel, over and over you find words like majesty, reign, throne, King. Look at Psalm 95, for example. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Or Psalm 99, the first five verses say, the Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. One of my favorites, Psalm 22, verse 3. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Now, is God King whether you or I worship Him or not? Yes. God is King whether we praise Him or not. But when we praise Him, He is literally enthroned, the Bible says, on our heart. And God says, when I hear my people giving me sincere praise, I show up and I make my praise my throne. So how do you seek first the kingdom of God? Every day you resign as master of your life. Every day you tell God that He is King and you praise His name. So I want you to do that with me right now. We're going to be a little bit like the Catholics. Stand back up again. And let's sing this song together, okay? I'm going to lead you in this song. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You are Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords You will be. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. Lord of all lords You will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You are King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings You will be. We bow down and we crown You the King. We bow down and we crown You the King. We bow down and we crown You the King. King of all kings You will be. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. Lord of all lords You will be. Amen. You may be seated. So if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, if I'm going to live by the first rule, every day I pray, and in the act of prayer, I dethrone myself. And every day I praise, and in the act of praise, I enthrone God. But there's one more thing, and this is the hardest. I surrender my worries in pursuit of radical righteousness. Now that verse says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To live in the kingdom is to pursue a surpassing righteousness. Jesus said, don't think I've come to abolish God's law. I've come to fulfill the law. In fact, if your righteousness does not surpass that of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom practices a righteousness that gets beneath the deed and reigns over the heart. Just look at how Jesus taught on the law, on the issue of murder. These are his words from the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Have you ever been angry with your brother? Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, fool, you'll be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled first to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It's not just the deed. It's your heart. It's your hate. So you might as well surrender. You hold a grudge? You can't worship in that kind of a situation. Go and work it out. That is kingdom righteousness. Jesus taught on adultery that it's not just climbing into bed with another person. That's not your spouse. It's about the heart. Don't lust. Don't let your eyes, don't let your thoughts go to places that would dishonor your marriage. Don't do that. That's kingdom righteousness. Jesus said, you've heard it said to love your friends and hate your enemies. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you pray for everybody, especially your enemies. In the kingdom, you bless your enemies. In the kingdom, you do to others as you would have them do to you, whether they deserve that or not. You see, in the kingdom, You take righteousness to a whole different level. The problem is we have too many worries to do that. And so we don't really take Jesus seriously on this stuff. We don't. We take him seriously as Savior. We're counting on Jesus to get us into heaven. That's what he knows a lot about, but he doesn't know a whole lot about real life. You can't live like he taught and survive in this world. So we domesticate Jesus. We like our Messiahs a little mild. Come on, Mike. If I gave my stuff to anybody that needed it and I didn't ask for it back, do you have any idea how many people would take advantage of me? If I don't store up treasures for myself on this earth, who's going to do that? And you know what? The business world, it doesn't work with do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's dog eat dog out there. You do unto others before they do unto you in the business world. That's how you do it. And if your business goes out, nobody's going to shed a tear about it because that's the real world. I'm counting on Jesus for heaven, but not right now. Somebody with a little more sense has to run my life right now, so it might as well be me. So we practice surface righteousness. We are afraid to get radical. We accept Jesus, but we don't follow Jesus. We're too worried to do that. If we took Jesus seriously on repentance, our call to righteousness would be so radical. We wouldn't let anybody, anything, anywhere come ahead of the kingdom of God. We would pay any price, no matter how crazy it seemed, to seek the kingdom. How radical is Jesus? Look at Mark chapter 9 with me, verse 47. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. That's extreme. That's the point. It's dangerous. And people will criticize you if you ever take the rule of God seriously as Jesus taught us to. But Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Loved ones, the gospel of the kingdom is not just a way to get saved. It is the way to do everything. We have to stop being so worried. The irony is we are worried about what's going to happen to kingdoms that we can't keep anyway. E.V. Hill was a famous black pastor from Los Angeles. He died in the year 2003. He was a powerful preacher. He spent most of his life building a church in a really rough part of Los Angeles. He was invited to speak once to a very affluent church in the southern states. And in his sermon, he made this interesting observation. He said, you know, I noticed when I flew into your city and drove here to your beautiful church building, there's a lot of nice houses, a lot of nice cars. In fact, this is a really nice building. And I realized you are missing something. Graffiti. You ain't got any graffiti here. So I want to volunteer to give you some. I'm going to get a bucket of paint and go through your neighborhood and paint one word on your house and on your fine European cars. Temporary. Because that's what it is. It's temporary. Why is it that we consult every other kingdom when we make life decisions instead of the only kingdom that comes with a durable guarantee? Our righteousness is way too tame. We are a whale in a tank. We're supposed to be lions. I want to pray over you if you would stand up. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me right now. I want you to commit to God one area of your life right now where you are going to be bolder in pursuing kingdom righteousness. Now think about the sermon. Think about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Do you worry? Are you worried about clothes? Are you worried about where you're going to live? Are you worried about money? What are you stressing over right now? Here's where I want you to pray. Confess that to Jesus right now. Go ahead. Father, I pray these people whose heads are bowed are also bending their knee to you right now in their hearts. I pray that there are people in this room that are climbing down off their thrones. Lord, give us a righteousness that goes deeper than it ever has before in our lives. Help us to seek the kingdom with all of our heart, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name.